Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome at the analyst conference call in connection with the publication of the 2009 half-year results. The results will be presented today by the top management of the company, Mr. František Řezák, CEO.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. Aleš Geržáv, CFO.
Good afternoon.
The format of the call is following. You should have the PowerPoint presentation in front of you. If not, please download it from our website. The management will go through the presentation. This should take up to 30 minutes, and then we will have a chance to ask questions during the Q&A session. The call is recorded, and it will be posted on our website later on. And now I will hand over to the CEO, Mr. Řezák.
Thank you, Clara. Good afternoon again. I am pleased to say that our business in the first half of 2009 has been characterized by problem-free production and strong sales performance. We regard the first half financial results as very good. In line with our expectations, they were positively influenced, namely in the first quarter, by three key factors. Pegas was successful in selling the stock of inventories remaining from the end of last year. We also benefited from low input polymer prices while taking advantage of higher sales prices that were set at the level from the last quarter of 2008. We have been also successful in significantly reducing our external debt, which demonstrates the strong financial position of the company. Our main objective going forward remains to meet our planned financial results. Now, key highlights. I will go through the key highlights of the first half and of the second quarter of 2009. Our revenues in the first half of 2009 amounted to 63.2 million euros, which is 16.1% down compared with the same period last year. This difference results from cheaper polymers reflected in the output prices. In the first half of 2009, we recorded a still high EBITDA of 22.4 million euro due to the highly positive factors which contributed to high EBITDA in the first quarter this year. Our profit from operations, EBIT, increased by 17.9% to 14.6 million euro, also thanks to lower depreciation costs. Net profit went down by 31.1% year-on-year to 16 million euro, primarily due to massive forex gains from the first half of 2008, which however had no impact on the cash position of the company. As for ourselves, we have fully sold out the accumulated inventories from last year and recorded new orders from hygiene. Strong hygiene sales confirmed that our core market is doing very well during the economic recession and remain positive for the development of our sales also for the rest of the year. Next slide, please. As discussed many times before, price level of polymers significantly impacts our revenues and cost of sales. This slide shows the development of the polymer prices in 2008 and 2009. Average price of polypropylene in the first half of 2009 was almost by 40% lower than in the full year 2008. Our sales prices are adjusted to polymer indices approximately with a 3-month delay, and therefore we benefited in the first quarter from the higher output prices, which reflected the ICIS level from the end of 2008. Our cost of sales, however, included cheaper polymers purchased in the first quarter 2009. The key driver for revenues and sales in the second quarter was the substantial decline in the polymer prices, which subsequently led to lower sales prices of products, although we sold more tons than last year. Now I will hand over the presentation to Aleš Geržáv, who will guide you through the key financial data.
Our revenues for the first half of this year went down by 16.1% year-on-year, driven primarily by a lower polymer price level, which resulted in lower sales prices than in the same period of 2008. Major impact of the cheaper polymers is visible in the second quarter of 2009, where the revenue drop reached 26.8% since the output prices were already fully adjusted downwards. Our operating costs went down in the first half even more by 25.3%, primarily due to a lower level of purchase prices of polypropylene and polyethylene. In the second quarter of 2009, the total consolidated operating costs without depreciation and amortization reached €19.1 million, which is a decline of 30.1% year-on-year. The main cause of the annual decline of the operating costs was the drop of polymer prices. EBITDA in the first half of 2009 amounted to €22.4 million, up by 8.2% year-on-year. The first half increase in EBITDA was primarily affected by high EBITDA in the first quarter of 2009. In the second quarter of 2009, EBITDA reached €8.4 million, down by 18% year-on-year. The higher EBITDA in 2008 was affected by the positive effects of the pass-through mechanism. Net profit amounted to €16 million in the first half, down by 31.1% year-on-year, primarily due to higher unrealized forex gains in the same period last year, including their impact on income tax. In the second quarter of 2009, the company recorded net profit of €9.3 million, 20.4% lower than in the same period in 2008. Production volumes in tons increased by 4.3%, however, the year-on-year comparison is distorted by a different product mix and different basis weights of the produced output and less planned production breaks. Number of employees at the end of the period slightly declined from 389 to 382. Now the next slide. Let me briefly comment on the items which we haven't discussed in the previous slides. Total raw materials and consumables used in the first half of 2009 amounted to €37.4 million, a 27.2% year-on-year decrease. In the second quarter, this item reached €17.3 million, 32.7% year-on-year lower. This development resulted from the above-mentioned drop in polymer prices. The increase of the staff cost by 11.7% year-on-year in the first half of 2009 was a result of a change in the fair value of the share option plan, while the underlying staff costs without the share option plan revaluation decreased by 6% year-on-year. Total staff cost for the 6 month period denominated in Czech koruna without the revaluation of the share option plan went up by 1.3% year-on-year due to a standard increase of the salaries. Depreciation went down by 6.3% due to the weaker Czech koruna between the compared periods. In the first half of 2009, foreign exchange gains reached €4.4 million, down by 74.8% year-on-year. The annual decline resulted from the exceptionally high forex gains recorded in the first half of 2008 on the back of rapidly appreciating Czech currency. In the second quarter of 2009, foreign exchange gains and other financial income reached €7.2 million, down by 23.7% year-on-year. Interest expenses related to debt servicing amounted to €2 million in the first half of 2009, a 38.3% decrease compared with the same period in 2008. The main reasons for this decline were lower interest rates and the gradual repayment of the external debt, which decreased by 14.8% since the end of 2008. In the second quarter of 2009, interest expenses related to debt servicing reached €0.8 million, 51% year-on-year lower than in the same period last year. Next slide. In the first 6 months of 2009, sales of products for hygiene continued to grow, reaching almost 90% of total sales, which is slightly higher share than in the same period last year. Sales of products for non-hygiene technical segments went down by 31.2% in the first half of 2009 due to a lower demand for technical applications. Next slide. With respect to the geographical distribution of sales, sales into Western, Central and Eastern Europe represented in the first half a 96.9% share of total sales, in line with our core focus on the broader European area. Next slide, cost composition. Changes in the cost composition in the first half of 2009 were driven primarily by the decrease in polymer prices. As a result, the share of consumed polymers declined from 68% in the first half of 2008 to 59% in the first half of 2009. Staff costs went up due to the revaluation of the share option plan, as discussed earlier. Electricity costs went slightly up due to the price increase. Next slide, balance sheet. Main changes in the balance sheet since December 31st, 2008 represent the level of inventories, which went up by 17.1%. This is because Pegas purchased extra volumes of polymers when the prices were low in the first quarter of this year. Trade and other receivables decreased by 12.6% due to a lower sales prices of our products in the second quarter of this year. Bank loans, both short and long term, decreased significantly by 14.8% due to high cash generation during the first half of 2009. And finally, payables went down by 18.2%, mainly as a reflection of the lower polypropylene prices. Cash flow statements. Some of the events impacting the balance sheet and profit and loss account in the first 6 months of 2009 were also impacting the cash flow statement. Main factors to mention in the cash flow statement: higher inventories due to the purchase of extra stock of polymers at bottom prices, change in receivables and payables caused primarily by substantial decrease of polymer price indices, low capital expenditure this year, and decrease of the outstanding bank debt and lower interest costs. Next slide. As we mentioned earlier, we do not anticipate any expansion capex this year until we make a commitment with respect to the new production line. Our maintenance capex in 2009 should be around 2 million euros. Now I will hand over again to František to talk about our outlook for the rest of the year.
The last slide of this presentation is very short. We would like to confirm our initial outlook for this year. We expect higher sales in TAN. Our outlook for EBITDA in 2009 is still up to 10% decline compared with the euro 39.5 million EBITDA achieved in 2008. This was the last slide of our presentation. I would like to thank you for your attention, and we will be pleased to answer your questions now.
Thank you, František. Thank you, Aleš. Operator, we are now ready to take questions, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register their questions. Our first question comes from the line of Radim Kramule. Please go ahead with your question. Denounce your company name and your location.
Good afternoon. Radim Kramule from RSM. I just have two questions. Your productivity went up in the second quarter by more than 5% in terms of tons produced. Is it because of different production mix than last year, like you increased the share in the hygiene, or was it that you managed to raise the capacities of your lines? That's the first question. And my second question, you were mentioning dividend record or dividends to, or details about dividends to be announced in the beginning of September. Can we expect the record day also in September or sometime later in the year? Thank you.
The first question regarding the productivity. The production volumes in tons increased by 4.3%, and it was due to a different product mix and different basis weight, and also the production breaks were changed when we compare the periods 2008 and 2009.
Does it mean that, for example, maintenance will be carried on in the second half, or is it just that you have managed to decrease the time that the lines are off?
We changed the maintenance breaks. Some of them we postponed to the second half of this year. But I think that we will still keep good production performance.
Thanks.
And now probably your question regarding the dividend. Now we are in a process of awaiting an audit opinion on our interim results, which will be worked out by our auditor, Deloitte. This interim results, we need to, or for our declaration of the dividend, without this interim report we cannot do that, we cannot declare the dividend. However, within the next 14 days we will have this interim report or audit report in our hands, and then we will declare the dividends, and we will also disclose the terms of the record date and also the payment date.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Bram Buring. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name and your location.
Hi, this is Bram Buring from Wood & Company. My question is with regards to your guidance for the full year. It looks like you have made roughly 60% of your EBITDA in the first half of the year, but you're maintaining the guidance, and that would imply to me that your EBITDA per ton that you'll be showing in the second half is going to be significantly below even the second quarter level. Is this an accurate way of looking at it, that the second half of the year will be significantly weaker compared to this previous quarter?
I don't know whether we can say that it would be significantly lower than the second quarter. You know that there was exceptional first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
What is also clear and why we are keeping this guidance, it is the fact that polymer prices are going up significantly. We started at the level of 740 euro per ton at the beginning of this year. Now we have 970-980, and you know that this delay in pass-through mechanism will have some impact on the company, on our EBITDA. Therefore, I think that it will be influenced, our performance will be influenced by that mainly.
Okay, so the lag in the pass-through mechanism is going to be an issue for you, a negative issue for you in the second half of the year.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Robert Boucher. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name and your location.
Hi, this is Jan Pravda from Sunning Capital in Prague. I might be asking a bit naive question, which, you know, has intention to step back a little bit and ask the management about the strategy of the company. You know, we as investors view the company as very defensive, stable, basically taking a relatively predictable margin in the commodity market on one side, the input and the output on another side. What we are missing is, you know, a brand, if you know what we mean. And we understand that it's very difficult in your business to sell in a brand because you are supplying, you know, raw material to others who in the supply chain actually produce branded products. But the question is, you know, as investors, we would one day like to come to a shelf in a supermarket and see a product, you know, called Pegas something, for instance, because that would give a lot of boost to the company and to the, you know, valuation and visibility and all that. Is there a chance, and if not, please explain why you cannot sell, or is there a chance that you can sell branded products at one point? And if not, why not? Thank you. Hello?
Your question, once again, it was whether on the shelves you can find Pegas products or that on the labels of baby diapers, there will be mentioned Pegas as a supplier of...
In a way, yes. In a way, it was meant that way, exactly.
Okay. Okay. I think that from current perspective, let's say, it's very difficult to be mentioned on the labels of our customers' products. They keep at least three or four suppliers for each kind of material which is involved in the final products of baby diapers, sun care, and so on. And I think that it would be possible only in case when we would offer something extremely, extremely, extremely special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the world you can find some producers, but at this stage I don't believe that we would achieve this this stage or this.
Mm-hmm. So you are saying that you would have to really innovate, let's say, a new, have an idea for a new diaper, and then you could try to you know, go to the market with it. But would it create friction and, you know, sort of refusal to do business with you on the side of your customers or not? How would that issue, how does the dynamic work?
We do not understand this question.
Would this create a conflict with your main customers? You know, we have seen cases when a Central European company has supplied some raw material and then on a side started producing competing product, and that actually did create a conflict with the customers, and, you know, it ultimately damaged the company. Is that a risk that you also would like to avoid, therefore that's why you are sort of very careful about this?
Yeah, you are right. You are right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Ram Buring. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name.
Yes, thank you. I have a follow-up question regarding your CapEx and expansion plans. Could you perhaps just update me on when you might be considering expanding by another line? What are the issues that are around the decision to either expand now or expand some later time in the future? Thank you.
At Pegas, there is very deep discussion, mm-hmm, about this new investment. We would like to realize this investment under investment incentives regime. We got this investment incentives at the beginning of this year. The deadline for commercialization of the new line is January 2012. If we want to meet this deadline, then we should sign the contract in the first quarter 2010. And what is very important, the internal discussion is they are involved all departments of Pegas company. We also need to consider, take into consideration, let's say, the expectations of our clients and not current expectations in terms of the product which they will need. It is about future 2012 and further. And what is also important, we need to discuss or to to finalize the final configuration of this line, which kind of product this line should produce. It means this is a complex of issues, and we would like to finalize this discussion, internal discussion, by the end of 2009 to be prepared to sign the contract in the first quarter.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you need to be able to sign a contract in the first quarter next year with your supplier in order to take advantage of the investment tax breaks that you had offered.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you were to postpone that decision, that you decide it's not the right time to expand, would you be able to reapply for investment tax breaks, or how would that work? Would you automatically completely lose the tax advantage there if you didn't make the investment decision already in the first quarter of next year?
Let's say that this first quarter is the optimal timing. I think that it will be manageable also in the second quarter. But once we lose this opportunity, or we miss this deadline, I think that we would have to ask for new investment incentives, and then it depends on the situation in the Czech Republic, on the government, because you know that some parties support this idea, some not.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Ben Kadisrek. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company name and your location.
Good afternoon, Ben Kadisrek, Unicredit. I would have a follow-up question on the investment incentive. Do you think that you would, in case you decide not to invest at the beginning of next year, do you think that you would simply be able to renegotiate the terms of the current investment incentive?
I think that we should have to apply for new tax incentives. I don't believe that we can renegotiate current one.
Okay. Can you update us what is the supply-demand outlook currently in your market?
I think that in Norwegian market, European Norwegian market, there is still overcapacity. The situation is unclear because some companies might have some troubles or difficulties. What is clear for Pegas, we see ourselves in the rest of this year very positively. It means that we should be sold out. Again, we entered into negotiation with our clients for 2010 and further, and we don't expect such a high price pressure as we had last year. This is our current feeling. We will see the pricing behavior of our competitors. It is the most important thing.
I can ask on the polypropylene inventory. Did you use all the inventories you built when the prices were cheaper than now in the second quarter, or do you have still something that's on your books that you would benefit during the third quarter as well?
I think that we still keep a little bit higher inventories of polypropylene, but some, let's say, some part of polypropylene bought at the beginning of this year we have consumed, and we buy again. It means that we would like to keep higher inventories, but we are consuming also. It
and
means
on
that the company was benefiting from cheap polypropylene partially also in the second quarter.
And on your CapEx, you spent roughly 0.4 million in the first half, and you plan to spend four times more in the second half. Is it still, let's say, realistic, or do you think that you would save some money on CapEx in the second half?
Yeah, so until the end of the first half of 2008, we spent, let's say, 400,000 euros, and we still expect, according to our budget or our CapEx budget, that we will spend up to 2 million euros. It depends on the situation and on the project, which will be covered by this CapEx.
Mm-hmm. So this relates to the fact that there has been discussed that you postpone the maintenance to the second half, okay?
Also partially, but please don't mix two things, the maintenance costs and maintenance capex. We normally spend a lot of money inside the normal maintenance costs, and this maintenance capex means expenditures for which we buy new machines or cars or things in the storage, things like that. So there is a normal flow of costs in the normal maintenance in the production.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Chris Musa-Leek. Please go ahead with your question and announce the company name and your location.
Yes, I'm calling from Franklin Templeton from Warsaw in Poland. As you said, the polypropylene prices went up in the second quarter of 2009. But actually your operating costs are down. But I would assume that if there is the raw material is the price of the raw material is up, I would say that operating costs also should be up. Why they are lower?
So in the second quarter, if you get in front of your eyes the slight development of polymer prices, there is a curve indicating that at the beginning of the third quarter, the polypropylene indices are going up, and it means that we will also consume the same volumes of polypropylene but for higher prices. While in the first quarter and second quarter it's pretty flat. And in comparison with the year 2008 and 2009, we are in totally different situation. But there will be the negative effect of the polypropylene going up as of third quarter. We really don't know if it will stop only in third quarter or if it also continues in the fourth quarter. That's the big question.
So, Aleš, you are saying that the polypropylene price was flat in the second quarter, and that's the reason of those operating costs not moving significantly.
Yeah, and it will go up.
Okay, thanks.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Bram Buring. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, just a follow-up question on these the prices of inventories or the polypropylene inventories that you have that you stocked up on in the first quarter. I just want to confirm that you don't have any more of the cheaper stores in your inventory that would potentially help your results in the third quarter.
We still have some cheap polypropylene which we are keeping in our warehouses, and we can use these inventories at the end of this year, maybe in 2010. Depends on the development of polymer prices.
Okay, so you have something left in reserve there, as it were.
Yeah, right.
Okay, is it possible to quantify that in terms of tons of as it were cheaper stocks as a percentage of your total polymer stocks to give us a feel for how big that reserve is?
I think that we aren't prepared to answer this question. We don't have right numbers now with us.
Yeah, but frankly speaking, it's not, you know, a significant amount of the polypropylene which we purchased for this, you know, good prices for us. It's not very significant.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Once again, that's star 1-2, which is the question, and the hash or pound key to cancel. We appear to have no further question at this time. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. I thank the management for the participation on the call. And by now, if there are no questions, we would like to end this call, and we hope to hear from you later. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.